Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Good. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving and spend time with the family and, you know, thinking of the things that we are thankful for. And as we are always thankful for what the Lord has done for us, we are here. That's the reason we come here together and worship as one and always commemorating, you know, giving thanks to the great sacrifice that he has done for us. Again, it is good to see everybody. As I haven't say hello yet, but that's why I say it from here, from the pulpit, that way everybody gets covered. It's always a pleasure to see everybody and the good numbers that we see. Real quick, before I get into the lesson here, today is the youth traveling group. They're going to be at Barlow Vincent. I'll be here. If you're interested in going, I'll be here at 4 o'clock because they start at 5 p.m. So we'll be here at 4 o'clock. It takes about 40 to 45 minutes to go there, Barlow Vincent, Ohio there. So today is the youth traveling event. They do a worship service, the kids. December the 11th, there's going to be a after evening services, there will be a holiday party for the children of all ages. Again, children of all ages. So if you're able, we will be glad for you to be there present as well. And as well, we'll be glad, and if you'll be able to have any of the activities as well. There are, as you can see, there's a lot going on. So if you're able and willing as well, you're always welcome, no matter what the age. You're always welcome to participate of all the activities that we have. Again, that's the only two updates I have. And again, these will be in the bulletin. And if you're able to take a bulletin, you'll be have that information as well in there. As we saw last couple weeks ago, that when I preached, we were looking at the characteristics of Christ, and we were looking at the couple things that we looked over. If you would, let us turn your Bibles. If you haven't opened your Bibles yet, let us go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Is it working, Caleb? Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which according to his working, which works in me mightily. Again, I always like the Apostle Paul, how he always referred back to Christ. Colossians usually is the book referring to Christ, the head of the church. So I like the way the Apostle Paul makes remembrance to the Colossians of what is this mystery in the sacrifice and the service of Christ. So as we look as characteristics of Christ as our perfect example, we need to understand always we need to focus ourselves and go to the characteristics of what Jesus. So we need to focus on that and the example that every man should strive for. It is not enough to examine the actions and attitudes, but we must resolve immediately. We must imitate immediately the actions and attitudes in our lives. It's not just only saying that I'm Christian, but we can look at the characteristics. We need to look of what Jesus has done for us and the example that he had laid for us in for us in our lives. James chapter 1, verses 21 tells us, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow the wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So we need to have that certain attitude of disposing of those things that we need to work on in our lives, and to adhere or into connect to our lives here to see that again the example that Christ has done. So a couple weeks ago we saw certain qualities of Christ. We saw that Christ as an example as we examine, because as human beings we examine people, right? We look at people and we look at certain characteristics to people, and we look at how they live their lives and how to exemplify that in our own lives. So there's no difference in Christ Jesus. There's no difference in as a Christian. So a couple weeks ago we saw certain qualities that Jesus presented. He presented certain qualities of service, mercy, and he was without prejudice. I would like us to look at three more qualities of Christ as a correct character in the making of Jesus as our perfect example. Okay, so because we always have to look at Jesus as our example, right? Nobody else, because he has he had lived the perfect life for us, and he had shown us the love as well. So let us look at three more characteristics of Jesus as our perfect example. Our life should reflect the attitude of obedience as Christians. Hebrews 5:8 tells us, though he was son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Philippians 2:8 tells us, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. So we know that one of the characteristics that we need to reflect as Christians in our lives is obedience. Romans 15:3 tells us, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached fell. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Again, we see the characteristics of obedience, reflecting the attitude of obedience. There are three aspects of it that's genuine obedience that we need to understand as well. Doing the right things, which is the what. Doing the right things in the right way, which is the how. And doing the right thing in the right way for the right purpose, the why. So we see how Christ here, the example that even though he was God himself, even though he was he had all this power of himself, he knew that he needed to be obedient. He knew that he needed to be submitted to the Father, and he knew what his purpose in this earth was to continue and to follow through with the mission that God Father had in place for him. So we need, as Christians, we need to understand the fact that our lives should reflect an attitude of obedience. It's not just how I want to do it and when I want to do it. It's, again, the way that Jesus demonstrated us here as obedience, okay? The right, the doing the right thing, the what, doing the right thing in the right way, the how I'm going to do it, and doing the right things in the right way, for the right purpose, the why. So we have that example given to us through Christ Jesus as well, the obedience. So as Christians in our lives should reflect that as Christians in this character in the making, if we are to assimilate or exemplify Christ in our lives. Secondly, our lives should reflect the teachings, should reflect the teachings of Jesus. We know that Jesus was the master teacher. We know that Jesus is the master teacher, had taught everybody in a good way that he exemplified that, was how he teach the people in a way of parables. And parables always have, it's a story with a meaning, a practical meaning in life. And that's how his teachings was. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 to 29, tells us, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." So we see that distinction. We see that distinction that Jesus had in his teaching, that even for these consuls or these hierarchy people in Jesus' time, we see that he was unique, and we see that his teaching was it was not like any other teaching as well. He was the master. Again, he was the master teacher, and he was the people even felt that. The people felt that connection with him as well. So we need to understand the teachings of Jesus. Within that, we need to know that the characteristics of Jesus' teachings. Well, one was that it was balanced. It was balanced with, the mercy and the love, as Matthew 5, verses 7 and 23 tells us. It was a balanced teaching. It was a biblical as opposed to speculation, as opposed to, saying what I think or what it's supposed to be. It was biblical. 1 Peter 4:11 even tells us as Christians that we, the way we need to do things, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see that even here, even as I preach, it needs to be according to what the Word of God is. It's not what I think. It's not what I comment about. It's not what I am speculating, but it's about the Word of God. It's what God tells us, the oracles of God. And then within that, we see that the Lord, if I'm to minister to fellow brethren, if I'm to minister or whatever at whatever level I do, we see that we need to let him minister, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So we see that there's a sense that God helps us in the ability of ministering and doing the things that we need to do. And again, another key thing in this verse, we see that everything that we do in our lives, that everything that we do needs to reflect, and we need to glorify the Lord. It's not just glorifying myself, that I know things, that I have studied things, or X, Y, and Z, that, you know, whatever degree I might have, but all the things that I'm doing, I know that all is going to revolve in trying to glorify the Lord in doing what he wants me to do, doing and preaching the word that he wants me to preach as well. Again, glorifying God. We see that example is eminent in Luke chapter 4. The whole chapter, the first part of that, the chapter tells us about the temptation of Jesus. And guess what Jesus did? I mean, he was weak. He was coming he was fasting. He fasted. He was weak, but he knew how to contradict, or he knew how to counterattack the devil, because the devil was trying to see and tempt him and see what the weakness. But Jesus came back with the word and told him what he needed to do. That whole chapter gives us the example right there in that characteristics of Jesus' teaching, that, you know, it's from the Word of God. Everything that comes, everything that we need to teach has to come from the Word of God. Thirdly, it was uncompromising. In Mark chapter, the 10th chapter, verses 17 to 22, we see that story about the young rich ruler that came to Jesus and asked him what he needed to do to obtain eternal life. Jesus told him what he needed to do, but in the end, his thoughts or his mind was not in the ultimate prize there, as the ending of that story, as the ending of that passage tells us. He was sad whenever he told him that he had his hold, he had sold his fortune and followed him and continue, in his workings. So it is uncompromising. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise the doctrine. We cannot compromise the Word of God. It has been given to us for a reason. So we need, in this character building, and as we observe Christ, we need to see that we do reflect the teachings of Jesus. That he is the master teacher. He is the master teacher that we need to exemplify in our life. Thirdly, our lives should reflect the anger of Jesus. With this, we need to learn to be anger of what the anger by what anger Jesus, and not get angry about the things that do not anger Jesus. Jesus, we've seen in Scripture there that he became angry. And I'm referring to the scripture that we read about the temple, whenever he came into the temple and they turned the temple into a marketplace, and he was upset about it and making sure that, you know, the temple was not turned into a marketplace. Matthew 21:12 tells us, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. We see that Jesus was angry, but it was angry at the way these people had turned the temple, the temple into the marketplace. Ephesians 4:26 tells us, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So what's that implies and telling me? That I could be angry. Yes, because we're humans. We're humans. We're not perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus. That's why we look at him and his characteristics, and we try to exemplify that in our lives. Yes, we're going to be angry, but be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Meaning, don't let that bother me. Don't let that really bring me down, that the sun will come out, that I'm going to be angry for, you know, so much days or many days that, you know, I'm going to struggle, even it's going to affect me in my Christian life. You know, it needs to be addressed and needs to be dealt in the right way. Matthew 5:22 tells us, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell, and fire. See, even here we find an example of how do I need to deal with my fellow Christians? How I'm going to deal with my fellow Christian if I am upset with him? How I'm going to have to deal with him? Go to him and talk to him, and try to alleviate the situation. See, with this, I'm not saying we're not going to get angry. We're humans. We are going to get angry. But don't let that anger kill me. Don't let that anger bring me down as a Christian, that I'm going to struggle and even lose my salvation or lose my hope on, you know, that I have in Christ Jesus. In other words, we need to control that. And again, we see further on in this passage, in Matthew 5:22, we see that the way to deal with it, the way to deal with, fellow Christians, and how to deal with them, addressing, not just, you know, taking the other route or taking it to the next level of commenting or talking about, the brother or gossiping about the brother, but to go straight to the source. That's what it's saying. Go straight to the source and go and alleviate the situation. So we see that through that example in Christ, we need to reflect the anger of Christ. Christ knew how to deal with the situations that had been exposed here. So our lives, as Christians, we need to understand certain things. We need to reflect, again, we need to reflect, number one, the obedience that Christ has. We need to reflect the obedience as Christians that we have. We need to reflect that attitude of obedience as well. Our lives should reflect the teachings of Christ, which should be the ultimate goal, because Christ had done everything for us, and he had done the possibility, he made it possible to us to come to God through him and the great sacrifice that he did. And that's why we're here. That's why every first day of the week we commemorate the sacrifice that he done for us. And we eminent for us, or it's always reminded to us that, you know, it's not us that can save ourselves, but it's through Christ Jesus as well. So it should reflect the teachings, the things that he had taught, that he's the master teacher. So as you examine that character, we should examine that our lives should reflect the teaching of Jesus. Our lives should reflect the anger of Jesus, not just, you know, the anger that takes possession of me and, you know, act crazy, or, you know, because as human beings, we're at fault. We're not perfect, okay? As human beings, we're gonna commit errors. So, but what the passage is trying to tell us is, you know, control that in a way that, you know, how do I need to do it, and how do I need to apply this verse into my life, and how to proceed from it, how to do it the right way, okay? Basically, we know we're going to get angry. I mean, everybody gets angry. Everybody is human here in this in here that, you know, we're going to commit sin and we're going to get angry. But we need to know how we're going to deal with it and how we are supposed to deal with it. So again, we need to understand those three characteristics of Christ as we examine his character. Christ in us, the hope of glory, as Colossians 1:27 tells us. So the question is, does Christ live in you then? Does my life, when I reflect on it, when people look from the outside of these walls, does my life reflect what Christ wants me to be? Those characteristics that we have discovered today, is that reflecting outside these walls? Does Christ live in you? Question is, does Christ live in me as a Christian? If he does, our life is going to reflect the above qualities again. It's going to reflect the above qualities that we looked a couple weeks ago as well, of mercy without prejudice and of love. And it's going to reflect these three qualities as well. If your life does not possess these qualities, then Christ is not living in you. And if he is not in you, who is our hope of glory? Who is our hope of glory? Returning to our text here, knowing that Christ, the ultimate sacrifice that he had done, as the Apostle Paul put it here in perspective to the Christians, and then telling them, you know, that, you know, what Christ, the characteristics of Christ, what he had done for us. So who is your hope? Who is our hope then if Christ is not on us? If you're here this morning and you need to put on Christ, that would be the greatest decision you ever make in life. That would be the greatest decision you're going to make in life, to start that walk with Christ, to start that walk with him. You would need to hear the word, which you are doing right now. You would need to believe the word. You need to repent of those sins, the things that are affecting in my life. You would need to repent of those things and move on. Again, you need to confess those sins publicly, be baptized, and as Revelations 2:10 tells us, live faithful to the end. You need all these elements needs to be present at the time that you decide to walk with Christ. But again, you don't know what tomorrow would hold. The time is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is that day that you can make that decision and start that walk with Christ. And you don't need to put it, we don't need to keep on putting it off till the last minute. If you've been a Christian and if you had deviated from that walk, come back again to the Lord. Come back again and continue living faithfully and continue to improve in your life as the way as we observed here in these three characteristics is Christ. Continue to walk. Continue to walk in that newness of life that Christ offers. If you're here and if you are in need of either this invitation or to come back to Christ, we're here for you. Let us stand as we sing an invitation song.